Blog Talk Radio.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble's face. You won't see him again. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, American.
Welcome to another exciting show with Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. So turn up the volume and enter our chat room, or grab your phones, call in, and join the conversation. Help us to restore the republic to this country and inspire the majority to be silent no longer.
Well, look me straight in the eye. Tell me what you see. I'll tell the truth every time. Yes, you can count on me. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, 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 American.
Good afternoon. I'm rushing the day. This is another exciting episode of Southern Sense here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your hostess with the mostest, the radio chick, Annie, along with my co-host, Cool Mike. Good afternoon, Cool Mike.
Good afternoon, hostess with the mostest. Well, it's another Friday and another exciting show.
And that it is. That it is. We're going to have a great guest on, Bettina Sofia Viviano. And I love saying that because my mother was Rita Marie Lucy Claire della Vecchia.
Oh, really? You know, yesterday I said something to my mother. I said, going to have the princess of Italy. And she says, queen, queen. She says, you call her a princess, you're going to get slapped. I'm like, okay. So we got the queen of Italiano today. So, all righty.
Yeah. My grandmother used to say, Anucci. She goes, there will be a little no difference between an Italian and a Jew. And I said, what's that, Grandma? She goes, the only a difference will be we put a tomato in a chicken of soup.
Well, this comes to the point in time in our show, everybody, where if you have to run to the bathroom or run and grab some pop, Annie has probably 10 announcements to make.
No. All it is, I'm going to remind everyone that starting this weekend is the Healing Heroes here in Beaufort, South Carolina, to benefit the severely wounded veterans of our military. It's hosted by the Independence Fund. It'll start on the 23rd and run through the 27th. And instead of doing our show normally on Friday next week, we will be doing it on Thursday, because we will be broadcasting live from Cat Island. The golf course is called The Sanctuary, where we are sponsoring one of the holes for the tournament. So we'll have a live broadcast, plus the time has changed. It will not be 2 o'clock. It will be 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So please join us next week on Thursday instead of Friday.
That's awesome. I'm so excited for that show live. I'll tell you, I wish I could be there so bad. Oh, man. And I'm glad you actually changed the time, because I'm actually we had because of a schedule conflict, I was going to work till 3. So good. Things work out for the best.
That they do. And I want to remind everyone to find out more and to donate, please, at least $5 to the Independence Fund. Go to LDW3.com, and I'm putting that link up in the chat room for that. Okay, I'm going to bring our guest on, Bettina. I'm sorry, I slapped myself in the face. Bettina Sophia Viviano, how are you doing today, ma'am?
I'm good. How are you?
I am absolutely wonderful. And actually, before we start the interview, I do believe that this person is dying to say hello to you. Good afternoon, ma'am. Area code 314.
Is it my mom?
Oh, yes.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Bettina Sophia. How are you, darling?
I'm fine. Glad you're finally listening to me.
I'm listening to you, and I'm going to keep listening until I hear what you have to say. I know it'll be good, so I have confidence in you, okay? I'm going to sit here listening to you, okay?
Okay.
Let me tell you, Mom, you got nothing to worry about. She's in good hands. I'll chaperone. I'm an innocent, good Catholic boy. I went to Catholic Central High School, so I got everything under control.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
All right. Bettina, you've had a very, very wonderful career, more than 25 years in the entertainment industry. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
It's actually 30 years. I came out here from St. Louis, Missouri, went to USC, and then pretty quick after that went to work for Steven Spielberg for 5 years. And I've been an agent, a manager, a producer. I've had my own company for, since 1991, I think, something like that. So it's been fun. I haven't really done anything but film my entire life until the mess of 2008, which was a life changer.
Well, you've worked with, as you said, Steven Spielberg, but you've had Adam Sandler, you've done Cape Fear. You also worked on the Indiana Jones series. I mean, you've had a very, very wide series. Roger Rabbit. I'm looking at some of the stuff that you've done in the past, and it's absolutely awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been fun. I mean, you can't – to be able to work with, you know, somebody like Steven Spielberg, I was there almost 5 years, and it's just an unbelievable experience. And I was so young. I remember when I got the job, my mom was like, I'm only saying this because she's listening. She was like, oh, my God, you're going to work for the Steven Spielberg. And being sort of, I wasn't even 21 yet, I don't think. But being young and cocky, I was like, yeah, so what? Big deal. Who cares? Because I almost didn't take the job. And then the first day I was walking down the hall, my very first day, Michael Jackson and Steven come walking down the hall and say hi, and I'm like, oh my God. I go run and tell my mom, you're right, this is a big deal. But he was the nicest person in the world, and it was an incredible experience. And, you know, I learned everything I knew to carry on to my other job and the rest of my career.
Well, back in 2008, you started working on a movie called We Will Not Be Silenced, and you're still working on that. That's still in progress right now. What was the basis for this?
The basis was my best friend and client, the writer and director, got some random phone call from a woman who was a congressional investigator in Washington, D.C., who had worked somehow with Hillary Clinton when Bill was president, and just called my client out of the blue and said, do you want to make a documentary about voter fraud in the Democratic primary? And, you know, most of the people out here are severe, hard left, you know, really out there, progressive, liberals, whatever you want to call them. Gigi was a Democrat. And she called me up and she said, do you want to be involved in this project? And at the time, I'd never registered to vote, never voted. I didn't know what Congress was. I didn't know what the Senate was. I didn't know anything. I didn't really care. I mean, I always thought America was going to be okay because we're America, and, you know, so what if I show up to vote, which I'm appalled by that now, but what can you do? So she asked me if I wanted to make this film, and I said, why on earth would I ever want to make a documentary about Democrats and voter fraud? You know, I don't have a dog in the Hillary and Obama race. I couldn't care less. But my mom was a big Hillary supporter, and most of my friends were. And I don't know why, but I said yes to doing it. And the minute we said yes, and we started getting hooked up with all these people that had been, you know, experiencing this horrible fraud, between death threats, threats to lose their jobs, threats to be booted out of the party, people that were, you know, intimidated, locked out, property damage, theft, vandalism, falsified documents. We saw it all. And it was the, you know, there were 2,000 complaints in Texas alone in one state. And in all 14 caucus states, the same stories. I mean, this was just a really, you know, if we've seen by our community organizer, so-called president, that's what these people do best. I mean, that's what ACORN is. And we never heard the word ACORN before, but now we know that that's what it was. And it was just this incredible, you know, precise, you know, organized, overwhelming, chaotic, just enormous amount of fraud. It was terrible. I'll never forget it as long as I live. It really changed my life.
Yeah, well, the website that the people can look at the film, the trailer on it, it's called We Will Not Be Silenced 2008. Now, in there, you've got documents, and some of them I printed out, and others were just a little bit too lengthy, where you actually have the very slips that show that, people that did not even live in the state were voting.
Yeah, we wanted to be, we knew that going up against the first black presidential candidate and then the first black president, you know, we knew the backlash would be we're liars, we're racist, we're whiny Hillary supporters who didn't get our way. So we were incredibly diligent about, you know, actually doing the mathematical equations of exactly how many delegates Obama stole from Hillary. Because we had literally had people, and there's, you know, you see some of it in the movie, who spent weeks at a time locked up in a room just going through sign-in sheet after sign-in sheet. And, you know, there were precinct captains who'd get their packets back, and they weren't even on the list in their, you know, and they were the precinct captain, and they would have been removed if they were Hillary voters. And we saw that all the time. We saw, you know, members of the Obama campaign taking the documents and bringing them home with them, and you're not allowed to do that. They're supposed to stay with the party. I mean, just it went on and on and on. It was all day, every day. It was a mess. It was the worst thing I've ever seen. And they did it, you know, what you find about this particular president and his, you know, regime of goons, they don't care if you know they're doing it. It's right out in the open. What are you going to do about it? Nothing. You can't do anything. And they didn't really hide it. You know, it was so obvious what they were doing. And yet, you know, to this day, they've, you know, nothing's happened.
Now, at one point, one of Obama's attorneys had called into the Clinton hotline and started to get into a debate and just blatantly said, yeah, we're causing fraud.
Yeah, that was the two Hispanic women, Esther and Gina, who were on a campaign phone, and they accidentally got called into the Obama campaign people, and they were listening to him plot it, you know, and you go do this and you go do that, and they heard the whole thing, and then they ran and got campaign chair people to come in and listen to it. So, you know, but again, it wasn't like they were hiding it from anyone. I mean, if you were a Hillary voter, you know, you'd be threatened. Your name wouldn't be on the list. You know, your sign-in sheet would be. Hey, a lot of, and one of the worst things, and this is also in the film, and we saw this everywhere. For some reason, Lake County, Indiana, always has an enormous amount of voter fraud. I mean, they just caught those four guys from 2008 recently. But and even in the general election, because by now we figured out we should have poll watchers. So we saw, you know, unbelievable amounts of it in the general in Indiana. But one of the things in Indiana in the film is the busing the kids and giving them free lunches and letting them off a day of school and then putting, you know, a ballot in their hands for Obama, you know, and they would bus these kids into places they didn't live. You know, we would get reports of these little tiny small towns, like one was Belleville, Illinois, where my father used to go to work every day. I was from Missouri, but my dad commuted to Belleville, Illinois every single day of his life. And I know that town. It's a little tiny German town. People all know each other. And they were getting busload after busload of young black kids from other states. And they knew that these kids didn't live in, you know, they know their neighbors. They knew that these kids weren't from their town. And they, you know, just overwhelmed the system. You know, and all the parking lots would be full of cars that had license plates from other states. It just went on and on and on and on and on. I mean,
what about the poll watchers? I mean, they just stood there like mannequins?
Well, we didn't have poll watchers in the primary. The poll watchers, no. In the general, they all reported it.
Jeez. Unbelievable.
Caucuses
are, you know, caucuses are a horrible thing. They used our film in Austin, Texas. They had a hearing to outlaw caucuses because the Democrats keep the caucuses around. They love them because they're hotbeds of fraud. Because basically all you do is you go to your rec center, your community center, or school gym, and you stand there, and you know, if you're for Hillary, you stand on one side of the gym, and if you're for Obama, you stand on the other side of the gym. And it's supposed to be a community experience, and it's kind of loose. And that's where the Democrats figured out that there was this incredible weakness to the system. And they're always, you know, I went and went to campaign for my presidential candidate this year in Iowa at Christmas time, in January, actually. And, you know, it just brought it all back to me watching. I spoke. I was a surrogate at a caucus in Iowa. You know, and they write down the name of the candidate on a Post-it note, and they put it in an envelope, and then the chair, you know, the precinct chair phones it in to the Republican Party. Who's to say any of that's not being fraudulent? I mean, it just needs to be changed, the whole system. I mean,
yeah.
I don't trust it ever again. I don't trust ever, ever, ever now that my vote matters. I never will, not until something changes.
Now, on the caucuses, the fraud there was even worse than what was going on in the primaries. In the caucuses, delegates were actually being turned away, told to go home if they were for Hillary, right?
Oh, yeah, all the time. Oh, yeah, definitely. And that's where they got the delegates from. What they would do is there were these sign-in sheets, and you sign in, and then you go caucus, and you were supposed to have voted in the primary earlier that day, and then you go to the caucus. Most of these people didn't vote in their primaries, which would have disqualified them. And then that's how they select the delegates. And it goes, you know, state level, national level, and, you know, as somebody explained in the film, you start at this level of the local state level of this fraud, and it just keeps percolating and percolating and percolating all the way up, and that's how he stole the delegates. You know, at the end of it, neither Obama nor Hillary had the delegates to cross the finish line, neither one of them. They were 14 delegates apart. But if you took the fraud that we, and I don't know if you remember what they did to Hillary in Michigan and Florida, but Obama took his name off the ballot in Michigan. He knew he was going to lose so bad. And Hillary won Michigan and Florida, and they just decided out of fairness, that they would take away Hillary's delegates and give them to Obama, even though he wasn't on the ballot. I mean, that was the day that most of the people that left the Democratic Party said the Democratic Party died. I mean, I've been told 8 million people left, and I know 5 million Hillary voters voted for McCain, and that was the whole PUMA movement, you know, party unity my ass, because they were all being told like zombies that they had to rally around Obama, and it's a crime in 14 or 16 states. It's actually illegal for a pledged delegate to change their vote from the first ballot. And they were forcing these people to break the law. And, you know, there were very prominent people like Gloria Allred involved, and she's an attorney, and she knew they were breaking the law, and she didn't do anything about it. You know, they all knew. Everybody knew this happened. There was a congressman from out here named Brad Sherman out here in California. He said to my partner, there was so much fraud in this primary, we look like a banana republic. And then we tried to get him to say it on camera, and he wouldn't.
Unbelievable.
They all knew. I mean, everybody knew. I mean, you know, the whole roll call was phony. They passed over California at the roll call because California was going to stand for Hillary. And Barbara Boxer, who I think is one of the most reprehensible, amoral, unethical people God ever put on the planet, she stood up and said, California's not ready to vote. Pass. And they didn't even count California because they were going to stand for Hillary. And that would have upset a lot of stuff. And that's also Arkansas, which is in the front of the alphabet. That was the whole mess with Bill Gluttony and him being murdered. Arkansas was going to stand for Hillary. And that would have upset the whole thing right there because, you know, Hillary would have been still in the race.
Wow. Well, now we do have someone trying to call in from area code 214, but I'm still getting feedback from you, so please try to adjust your equipment and we'll bring your call back. Otherwise, you know, just try to call back in again. I can't bring you on because I'm getting feedback.
What a surprise that Gloria Allred and other people that you have named would do something like this. I mean, it comes as such a complete shock that these people are fake and two-faced. I mean, what more has to be presented before people's eyes before they see that? I mean, some of the things people you just named and some of the things you just named, I mean, people go to jail a long time for this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, Gloria Allred, I wanted to cut her out of my film because she made me so mad. And I literally, you know, I couldn't even watch it. She makes me so sick to my stomach. My father was an attorney, and I was going to be a lawyer before I did what I did in the film business. And I come from a family of judges and lawyers. And, you know, here's Gloria Allred, who actually wore a gag in her mouth. She stuffed a scarf in her mouth as a gag at the delegate breakfast at the Democratic Convention in Denver because as a protest against how everybody had been silenced and bullied. And there's a picture of her with the gag on the front page of the LA Times. And everybody knew that Gloria Allred was wearing the gag because they just committed the biggest voter fraud in history. And nobody did anything about it. And not only that, when Gloria Allred was interviewed in our film, she actually says, yes, this was fraud. Yes, it was horrible. It was a horrible experience. But you can't vote Republican. You just can't vote Republican, so you have to vote for Obama anyway, even though it was total fraud. And that kind of thinking is why, I mean, you know, it's really sad, but their party has some issues. I mean, if you knowingly have been involved and immersed in an insanely just vicious, horrible criminal. I mean, there were criminal complaints at the police reports all over the place. If you've been involved in that and you don't report it because you're a party hack and a zombie, and you can't vote Republican, so you have to have the biggest caucus fraud in history shoved down your throat because you just couldn't vote for, I mean, and McCain isn't a real Republican anyway. I don't know what they were worried about. But I don't, you know, I just, it was breathtaking to see so many people aware of it. And we only did it because Mrs. Clinton knew about it herself. The documents on our website include a letter from Hillary's lawyer to the DNC to stop the caucus fraud, and she sued in Nevada, where there was, you know, of course it's where Harry Reid lives. There were insane amounts of it going on in Nevada, and my partner and myself, my other partner, Michelle Thomas, she was there and saw it. And, you know, she's beyond scarred for life. It's just a horrible thing to watch that your country is a third world banana republic. I mean, you know, I don't have, like I said, a dog in the Hillary Obama race, but she had more popular votes than any candidate in history. And if they did the delegate count the right way, she would have won. And she deserved a fair election, like everybody else, you know, no matter who she is. And she didn't get it. And she didn't get it in the most mean, vicious, venal, ugly, criminal way I have ever seen. And I honestly will never forget it. And I will go to my grave getting anybody and everybody who will listen to it, because I think if you vote Democrat, you're clinically insane. That's just my personal opinion. No, they're horrible people. I will never, ever, and this, because it came from the top. I mean, this was Nancy Pelosi, Howard Dean, Donna Brazile. They were the ones who did it. They're the party leaders for those people. And, you know, unless and until they clean their party up, who can vote for that? Really, it's hideous. So, right. Yeah, there's my experience.
Okay, we got a caller calling in from area code 214. You're on the air live on Southern Sense. Who am I speaking to?
Hi, my name is Ray. I'm actually, I live in Farmers Branch, Texas. Currently, I'm driving through Chicago. Okay. Basically, I did want to chime in on voter fraud because right now I think it's insane that we have objections to voter, to showing ID to vote. You know, I don't get it. It's like, now, mind you, I hear the argument that they have that somehow it's going to suppress minority votes. But I don't know. I'm black, and I don't know any black people that don't have ID. Okay? If you don't have ID, you have bigger problems than just voting. How do you get a bank account? How do you get a job? All these things, how do you get government benefits if you don't have ID? So I don't understand why there's so much backlash against trying to make somehow our democracy and voting fair. To say, hey, show some ID. If you don't have ID, go get some ID. You know, I take it from a perspective that my ancestors died for the right to vote. I want my vote to count. I don't want dead people voting. I don't want illegal immigrants voting. I want everybody to show their ID and say, hey, no matter who you vote for, that vote is represented legally, period.
But that's why the Democrats do it, because what they do is promise the illegals, you know, welfare and health care and, you know, I mean, they get benefits that legal people get, and then they turn around and vote Democrat. I mean, the only reason the Democrats aren't doing it because they're compassionate. It's their illegal alien voter pool. And it does not suppress minorities, and it's a real big slap in the face, as you said, to women who fought for the right to vote, for minorities that fought for the right to vote. And there's a sense of pride of getting to vote and knowing that your vote matters. Your vote can't matter as long as the system is corrupted.
I was going to say, what's amazing about it is here you are, a career person, and overall fairly successful. You're accomplishing your goals, never voted. And out of nowhere, here you are on this show with all this information. I mean, it is relatively amazing that somebody who could care less about politics is uncovering all of this. I mean, good God, this is like, I don't even know how to respond to something like this, all this kind of fraud. I myself never believed stuff like this. Well, I knew it went on, but never to this extent. Wow, you must have been like flipping out.
Well, I think the difference, you know, and the thing is, you know, when I was trying to tell people about it in 2008, you know, I would tell my liberal friends out here in the film business, like, what was going on, and they'd say, well, so what, George Bush did it. Well, first of all, we don't know that because it went to the Supreme Court and they said he didn't. But second of all, a hanging chad is a little bit different than threatening to kill somebody. There's a huge difference to me of that kind of bullying and thuggery. And, I mean, we had we constantly had people who were, they threatened to kill. And people that were in our film, particularly the black people, who got it worse because, you know, there was this assumption that if you were black, you had to line up behind Obama, whether you liked him or not, and whether you wanted Hillary or not. You had to, and the ones that refused and that stood for Hillary, they got it the worst. And that's why in our film, some of those women made us alter their voices and block out their faces because they were terrified. They were absolutely terrified. And the fact that we live in a country where people have to change their voices and to, you know, be disguised and have their faces blocked out in a film because their own party members are threatening to kill them because of their vote, that does not say a lot about this country. It's scary. But, you know, it can't be a surprise to anybody because look at how this country's being run. I mean, this is how this guy started. And by the way, this wasn't the first time Obama did this. I mean, there's a whole interview that my partner and I did about Alice Palmer. Do you guys know who that is?
No.
Okay. This goes way back, but this tells you who Obama is. Now, this is stuff I'm learning in 2008 trying to tell everybody. He's not a good guy. He was mentored by Alice Palmer, who was a black woman, member of the Communist Party, which they all are, in Chicago, and she had the state Senate seat that Obama ran for and eventually won. She was the woman who told Bill Ayers to have the big coming out party for Obama at his house. You know, Bill Ayers, who he didn't know, you know, come to find out, as we knew, you know, it goes all the way back to Obama. Actually, his parents were the ones that brought Obama to Chicago and sponsored him and everything else as a foreign student. But Alice Palmer got Bill Ayers to throw this big party. Obama went to run for state Senate, and Alice Palmer left and went to run for Congress, so that seat would have been empty. Now, mind you, this is his mentor and friend and a wonderful woman, even though, yes, she's a communist, but she had mentored him. And he then gets on the ballot to run for state Senate, and there's an CNN did a piece on this. If you go to YouTube, they did a story on it. Obama did something that no politician has ever done in history. He hired a private detective and a lawyer, and there were six people running against him for that seat. And one by one, he challenged every signature on every petition for every candidate, and he got them all booted off, including his mentor, who wanted her seat back, you know, because she failed in Congress, so she wanted to come back and have her Senate seat back. And Obama used unethical, amoral, challenges. Like, this is a district where there are some people that might have, you know, spelling challenges or writing challenges. And one by one, he had every single signature on every petition disqualified. And he ran unchallenged because he booted everybody else off the ballot. That's who he is.
Wow.
And
wow.
Alice Palmer said afterwards, because she was in Denver, now she's completely changed at this point. She hates Obama, now she's a Hillary supporter. She went to Denver to the convention with the woman that's in our film, Helen Lattimore, the black woman who said, you know, she went in Indiana to vote, and the two guys were on the lawn chairs saying, if you're here to vote for Hillary, you won't be voting. Those two went and were roommates up in Denver at the Democratic Convention, and my partner ran into Alice Palmer and talked to her, and Alice Palmer said she went and knocked on doors, and every single one of her signatures on those petitions were valid, and Obama had them all disqualified. That's who he is. He's never won anything fairly, ever. He's always had to cheat, lie, or steal to do anything. And that's he did it for instance, you know, the very first time he ran for anything, for that Senate seat, he did it there.
So basically, Hillary Clinton is now Secretary of State to keep her quiet then.
You know, I wasn't in the room when they made that deal. I didn't go to Denver because I broke my foot, and I was in Reno with my mother when all this stuff happened. And I also didn't think, feeling the way I did about the Democrats at that point, there was no way I could be in a whole town full of them. So my partners took our film to the convention because the whole point of us doing the film was to bring it to the convention and say, look at all this fraud. You can't give Obama the nomination because look what he did. And so I would talk to them all day, every day, because by now I'm fascinated by this whole thing. It's my whole life. I'm living it every minute of my life. It's everything I do, everything I breathe. And I would call them all day long, what's going on, what's going on? And they said that in all the years of all of them being, you know, politically active, they've gone to every single convention for the DNC every single year, they've never seen anything as ugly as the fights between the Obamas and the Clintons. Like, it was just going on day in and day out for three straight days. All they did was fight. And then the night before the phony roll call thing, which, you know, was all staged and theatrics, Hillary decided to quit. And they made whatever deal they made. You know, I've been told they paid off her campaign debt. I've been told there was some kind of blackmail going on, that, you know, they had a bunch of stuff on the Clintons and said either shut up, you know, take the job and, you know, drop out. I don't know. Some deal was made. I mean, I wasn't in the room. I don't know. But she stepped down and
wow.
quit. And her supporters were laying, I mean, these people had committed an awful lot of their lives to getting Hillary elected. And what was done to them was totally unfair. You know, it was not a real primary by any sense of, you know, the equation. And the problem with any kind of legal action, because we hired lawyers and we tried to do anything we could to make them pay for this, but they're a private party, and so they're allowed to conduct their business any way they want, outside of the fact that they made these delegates change their votes. We might be able to do something about that in the states where it's illegal, but it was very hard to be able to prosecute them because they're a private party.
Well, we got another caller in on the line. Area code 310, you're on the air live on Southern Sense. Who am I speaking to?
Hi, this is Vince from Los Angeles.
Hi, Vince. You have a question?
Yeah, I wanted to find out, first of all, I was wondering, you have the literary agent on right now?
Yes, sir. We have Bettina Sofia Viviano.
Okay. I was wondering, first of all, what he thinks of Obama's chances of getting reelected. And also, I'm looking for a literary agent because I wrote a book and I'm having a difficult time finding a publisher.
Do I think Obama has a chance of getting elected? If he does, it's through fraud. I mean, as we all know now, our ballots are being counted in Spain. Does everybody know that?
Yeah, that's with the Skytel. I was speaking about that on our last
really,
show.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so now there's probably no chance of anything being fair. And there are people that are saying that that's why Michelle took her $10 million vacation to Spain last year, was to organize this whole thing with the, you know, the voting and counting our ballots over there. So if they're counting our ballots in Spain, you know, I don't see how anything can remote. I don't even see how one vote can count. But if it were a fair election, I don't think there's enough stupid people in this country to vote for him. I really don't. I honestly think the poll numbers, you know, that keep showing he's at 50% or 49%, you know, they overpoll Democrats. They ask them trick questions. I think his internal poll numbers, like in Texas, are in the 20s. And I honestly think he's the worst. There are no words. I clearly don't like him. And I'm not going to have the Secret Service showing up at my door like Ted Nugent. But because, of course, the Black Panthers can do whatever they want and threaten to kill people. But, you know, an upstanding citizen doesn't like the president and they get a visit. I don't see how anybody can vote for him. I mean, maybe I'm crazy, but, you know, the Democrats should vote for Mitt Romney. He's a Ted Kennedy Democrat. You know, he's harmless, in my opinion.
Well,
you know,
I think that Mitt Romney is way out of touch with the regular people. And what there was a woman, that reporter or broadcaster the other day, she talked about Romney's wife and everything. And she had no reason to apologize because she was right that she's been living off her husband's fortune. She has no idea what it's like to really, really go out there and earn an honest living. And she didn't say anything. Yes, motherhood and raising kids and working is very difficult. But she has the money to hire nannies and other people to help.
She's never, ever hired a nanny in her life. Her children have already come out and spoken. They've never had help. And for them to insult a woman that's a breast cancer survivor and a multiple sclerosis survivor, that sound bite is going to continually bite them in the rear end. Second of all, America is a place where we have family values, and there are plenty of stay-at-home moms who are not going to like that kind of insult. And they worked for their money. You know, Ann Romney has been quoted as when they were first, when he started out, living in a crappy little apartment and couldn't buy carpet. The people that are against the American dream like you, like, you know, people shouldn't make money and have a wife who stays home, that spirit is destroying America. It's nobody's business what Ann Romney did or didn't do. She raised five boys, survived cancer, and still has MS. But these are the same people that wore T-shirts that said Sarah Palin is a C-blank-NT. And these are the people that call Sarah Palin I'm not going to say the words on here. You know the words. And these brutal, vicious attacks on conservative women, literally, that's another reason why I literally will blow my head off with a .44 Magnum pistol before I ever vote for a Democrat, ever, because of how mean they are to women. Between what they did to Sarah Palin and saying she should have aborted that retard, that kind of talk, and now slamming Ann Romney for nothing. How could she be out of touch? She's an American woman who lived the American dream with her husband.
Yeah,
what is wrong with that?
But I really don't think that either one of them have any conception to how difficult it is right now, especially for anybody. Like, for instance, with me, I've been out of work for a long time. I'm having a difficult time.
Did you vote for Obama?
Yes, I did, because I believe in
him. Well, then, Then you deserve it. Then you deserve it. And if you vote for him again, you'll never get a job. The man has destroyed the country. He has destroyed the country, just like I said he would 4 years ago. It's not an accident that he's done this. Unemployment is the highest. Poverty level is the highest. Foreclosures are the highest. Homeless is the highest. Everybody in this country is suffering. And the only way to do that is to put somebody in that Oval Office who has some common sense, a brain, and knows how to run an economy. And I'm sorry, but that's Mitt Romney.
No, and Vince, you got to remember, President Obama has never held a legitimate job in his life. Someone paid for his schooling. Someone paid for his college. He didn't work and put himself through college. Someone gave him the gift of a college
education. He's never worked for anything in his entire life. He knows nothing. And by the way, what a bunch of hypocrites the Democrats are, because John Kerry, who they voted for, and Al Gore, who they voted for, are probably the most out-of-touch people God ever put on the planet. John Kerry didn't earn that money. He married the Hines family. He's a gold digger. So you vote for John Kerry.
There I totally agree with you on that one. But
and, you know, the richest people in Congress are Nancy Pelosi, John Kerry, the Democrats. They're kicking the Republicans' butts by a long shot.
And the other
Vince, I'm sorry, Vince, you're not going to win this argument because you have a president that is so far out of touch with the common man that he is allowing the price of gas to increase without realizing it affects the price of eggs, milk, bread, the very basic things you need in life,
okay,
the common man needs. And the higher these groceries go up, the higher the price of gas goes up, as long as that stays high, you are not going to get a job because no business is going to expand knowing that their costs have increased. So when you get Obama out of the office, you may find a job.
How can you vote for a guy who 4 years in has made the biggest, he spent over $5 trillion in 3 years? How can you vote for
okay,
that?
Okay, let me say this much. I just want to make 2 points. First of all, as far as the about the gas prices? Okay, the gas prices, like Romney and all these other people who are running for the presidential candidate to run against Obama, they were all shooting off the mouth saying, "Well, we can lower the gas price to $2." And okay. If you want my vote, do it now. I want to see you do it now. They're not doing anything
different.
They can't
do it now. How Governor Romney doesn't have a job in the government.
Okay.
How can he do it now?
Okay, hold on. That's the first thing. And
neither
the second
does
Newt. The other thing
how
that
I... any of them? By the way, Obama vetoes everything. The House Republicans are trying to now pass, yet again, the Keystone Pipeline so we can have our own oil. Obama is directly responsible. Do you know that drilling in this country under Obama on federal land is down 80%? He has stopped all the drilling on federal land. Now, my mother pointed out to me that on private land, drilling is fine. But on federal land where Obama can stop it, he has stopped everything. And yet he's taking our taxpayer dollars and funding drilling in Brazil. See, Obama hates America. You don't get it. He wants us to fail. He wants to level the playing field, so he takes our money and gives it to every other country and drains us and shuts our businesses down and causes our businesses to go overseas and hire people over there.
Okay,
you're not going to get a job if you vote for him again. I can promise you. You better hope they extend unemployment benefits for a long time.
And the other problem that I have too with all these candidates is they're running like on their religious ticket. Well, and they're questioning Obama's religious beliefs. Well, what does that have to do with wanting to be the president of the United States?
No, you know what? Romney's never said a word about Obama being Muslim,
even though he just did.
It's the other side of it that keeps bringing up Romney being Mormon. And the bottom line is Obama should have come out and told the truth if he doesn't like it.
But what does it have to do with an issue?
What does it have to do with it? Nothing to me. And I don't see Romney running on it. And I'd like for you to send me video of Romney giving a speech about voting against Obama because he's a Muslim. I'd like to see that because he's never said it.
Where is it?
We're not running on religion. We're running on jobs and the economy. You don't have one. You better rise up and vote correctly or you will
never have one. This is Ray from Farmers Branch. Is everyone still on?
Yeah, I'm here.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes, Ray.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
See, okay, here's the problem, okay? And I don't know if this guy on the line is a liberal or not, but the problem that we face in America is real simple. Liberals are no longer liberals. It's communism, okay? How do I know? I was trained at a state university in Chicago by University of Chicago professors, similar to Obama, okay? He taught law there, okay? Most of our faculty basically teach at the state universities, okay? And it's not – and here's the thing. It's at any cost do you push communism, okay? I'm going to explain this to you. I had a philosophy class. I was fresh out of the Army, okay? Never had a hungry day in my life. Family, my parents worked. You know, they worked hard, made it possible for me to live in a nice neighborhood. Didn't live in poverty, never was hungry. I had an instructor tell me that I was oppressed. I was oppressed. I'm like, I ain't going to say I'm oppressed. That'll be – see, this is the stuff that they tell and they profess to try to put disparity where it doesn't exist. You see, this is liberalism. They want to sell racism. They want to sell sexism. They want to sell all the isms. But when you look at every enclave that they run, look at it. Look at Chicago. Look at L.A. Look at New York. Look at Detroit. But look at it. Look at it. And number one, Chicago is the most racist city in the country, ran by who? Democrats. Not one Republican. Not one on the city council. Okay? Not one.
Not one in L.A. Not one in Detroit.
Here's the key thing. And what they try to sell is somehow the Republicans are the problem. You can't blame the Republicans for the school. They have no power in the school systems in Chicago or Detroit or L.A. or Atlanta. Okay? None of it. But they want to sell this as if somehow the Republicans are the problem. But the problem is flat out, they are not logical when it comes to dealing with issues. It's math, flat out. We don't have it. People have to do more for themselves, okay, period. You have to, you know, how is it that if you don't have a job, I mean, I know some people were affected by the economy. It's not a perfect economy. However, get retrained. The government gives you, mind you, I work in education leadership, okay, for colleges, okay? The government provides $15,000 per year. Per year, if you're a poor person in this country, to get some type of job training. We're not talking about state grants. We're not talking about private scholarships or any university or trade school scholarships. We're saying strictly the federal government. So if you're not doing something to be retrained to be employed, it's your fault. It's your fault, period. It is, because we have plenty of jobs in this country. But what people don't want to talk about, it's not the financial deficit that's running it. It's the intelligence deficit. The fact that we have too many people that's basically buying into this liberal philosophy that, oh, you don't have to take ownership of your life. You don't. The government's going to do it. You can have 4 or 5 children out of wedlock. Don't worry about it. The government's going to take care of you. These are the things that Jesse Jackass, Al Sharpton need to be out here bullying. The real reasons why most people in the black community are spending out most, a disproportionate amount of black people are suffering, because most black people do well in this country. But they try to sell somehow that, oh, black people are suffering. How? How? Our poor people are fat. Fat. High blood pressure, hypertension, diabetes, eating too much. But somehow we have disparities in America, and somehow the Republicans are the problem. No, liberal policy that drives businesses from urban areas because of the unions and the politicians. One key point before, if y'all don't mind me saying it. Walmart wanted to put 16 stores targeted specifically in urban areas that were food deserts and didn't have any development, okay? The Democrats on the city council blocked it. Even the Democratic mayor wanted it for just tax revenue purposes, right? Jobs, 16,000 jobs in poor communities. What do the Democrats do? No, if it's not going to be union, we don't want it. Oh, the jobs don't pay enough. I mean, my personal story, I was able to work at a store down the street from the house bagging groceries for $4.45 an hour. When I left that company, I was an assistant manager making $70,000 a year, okay? So don't tell me that entry-level job at Walmart wouldn't help, okay? But they blocked it because why? They couldn't control it. If they can't control it, if liberals cannot control the winners and the losers, in any situation, they're not going to be for it. And that's pretty much all I have to say. And that's why we're failing as a country in places where liberals run it, period. Cut and dry is the fact, and it can't be disputed, period.
Wow.
Well, thank you, Ray.
It's very true. And on top of just a follow-up, and then I'll be quiet, is that the politicians in Chicago wanted kickbacks from Walmart. And Walmart told them really to go each store was supposed to give them a kickback in whatever district or belong to what alderman or alder lady, I should say. Walmart, at that time, Walton was a lot. He told them right where to stick it. So, but the bottom line is, getting back to our original topic, is that, you know, our caller isn't alone. So many Americans, including in our own families, they've been brainwashed and manipulated by Obama. And just a perfect example is that
she was talking about Barack's apprentice, the master. Well, all of a sudden, Barack is the apprentice, and what happens once he gets at a certain level? He puts the knife in the back of the apprentice and takes over as the master, or the master. The apprentice stabs the master in the back and takes over. And here's a perfect example. He's probably two steps away from basically being an emperor. Go ahead.
Bettina?
You know, knowing what I know about Obama, I could not violate and rape my country by voting for him. I mean, he's been doing this on purpose. It's not even, you know, it's really funny, the liberals scream and rant about how intelligent Obama is, even though nobody has any way of knowing if he's intelligent or not, because he reads off a teleprompter and nobody's ever seen his grades. He's never published any, you know, he won't release anything if he did write when he was the editor of Harvard Law Review. That's what you do there. You publish articles. None of them have ever been released. If he wrote any, we don't know. None of his grades from Columbia, Occidental, Harvard, he refuses to release them, even though the minute a Republican candidate runs, Huffington Post posts their grades that day. And if Bush or anybody else had refused to show their grades, you know, we'd be getting all kinds of rants. We have no idea if he's even intelligent. We know that he's been given everything, that he had his Harvard education paid for by the Prince of Saudi Arabia, Prince Al-Waleed bin Talal, who also owns Fox, who also put Fareed Zakaria from CNN through Harvard. We know he never paid for anything, worked for anything, but all the liberals think he's such a genius. Based on what? You can't have it both ways. He's literally destroyed the economy. He has destroyed the rule of law in our country. He believes he's a dictator or emperor. He has circumvented Congress. He has committed felony bribes in front of the country. The Louisiana Purchase, the Cornhusker kickback, Gatorade, all of those bribes to get people to sign Obamacare, which now the Democrats are regretting because it's going to cost them seats in the House again and the Senate. They talk about how smart he is, yet no one has a job. Food prices are through the roof. He, in 2008, this is how stupid people were to vote for Obama, he said, I have the video on YouTube of him saying that he would purposely jack up gas prices. He said, my energy plan will cause your electricity bills to skyrocket. I know mine are double. I know my health care, my health insurance has doubled in 1 year. I pay $1,200 a month being single and alone because of him. I was paying $700 a month a year ago, and my insurance people told me it's because of Obamacare. And, I mean, everything you touch in the grocery store has doubled, tripled. People can't feed their kids. They have no job. I have so many friends who have lost their homes in foreclosure. These are people that were successful. I have friends who have been living in their cars because they've lost their homes. I have friends who can't feed their babies, and yet somebody's going to vote for Obama again? For what? So this can continue until we're Cuba? You know, the liberals like that whole shared poverty thing. That's the difference between liberals and conservatives. Conservatives believe everybody can have a job, can have the American dream, can have a home, can have children, and, you know, have everything that they were born with the right to have. Liberals aren't happy until everybody's poor and living off the government. And we have the highest, and even though Obama is the food stamps president and everybody's on food stamps, they say it's going to get worse and worse and worse until 2014. The CBO, which is a nonpartisan congressional budget office, just evaluated Obama. Obama had, first of all, the Democrats have not passed a budget, which is against the law. It's illegal. The Constitution says the Democrats have to pass a budget every year. The lazy slobs on the Democrat side haven't passed a budget for 1,087 days, three straight years. They won't pass a budget. They refuse. The House Republicans have submitted 28 budgets, and the Senate Democrats have poo-pooed all of them. There is no budget. Obama put forth a 2013 budget, and 100% of the House, and that means the Democrats, every single congressman voted against Obama, his own budget he put forth, because it was so bad. And the CBO evaluated his budget and said it would destroy whatever jobs are left in this country. And you're going to vote for that while you're whining about a job? The guy is an unmitigated disaster. He's the worst thing that's ever happened to America in our history. And if he gets another 4 years where he doesn't have to campaign, you will not recognize this country. We'll be lucky if we look like Cuba with no toilet paper to use. And you know, no cars because we can't put gas in them. That's intentional. Even Obama's, you know, Department of Energy nut, what's his name, Chu, he's on YouTube saying we're going to intentionally drive up the prices of gas to what they are in Europe. They're $10, $12 a gallon in Europe. Do you want to pay that? That's what your president wants because he thinks you'll stop driving your car. Well, but Obama doesn't have any alternative other than algae, which is not a viable alternative. You could take all the algae on this planet and harvest it, and it would do nothing. So
now,
what is this?
Well, a lot of people don't even realize that one of the very first executive orders Obama issued was number 13489 on January 21st of 2009, right after he took office, where it sealed all of his records. Actually made it illegal to go and look for them. So
absolutely.
You're wondering
first
why you have no birth certificate? It's because of this executive order.
No, absolutely no documents. And yet if this were a Republican president who did that, you would never hear the end of it. If George Bush would have signed an executive order stating that all of his records, his college, his selective service record, which we know now is a forgery, his forged birth certificate, all of the documents that he has presented are phony, and most of them he has sequestered. And yet this is a guy who's making deals with Russia on a hot mic, telling Russia he's going to give them all our secrets when he's elected again. And you don't worry about national security with a guy who nobody in this country knows who he is. Nobody. Nobody has any idea.
No. Matter of fact, the Kenyan prime minister has already admitted that he has the real true birth certificate. We got another caller in on the line. He's a fellow host here on Blog Talk Radio, known as the Invisible Conservative. Thomas, you're on the air live.
Hey, what's going on?
I'm fine. And how are you?
I am well. How are you, Bettina?
Fine. How y'all doing?
I am well. You know what? I want to... In the midst of this, you know, the misery and the doom and gloom, I wanna share a little ray of hope. I'm not going to go into details about how I know what I know, but I'm going to throw something out there. And Annie and Bettina, you both may have heard this, being that very well connected, and Annie, you being former New York City Police Department, and it has something to do with our military. Anyway, I got it on very good information from a friend of mine who's a retired Marine that there are a certain few individuals in our military at very high levels, quite a lot of people that are preparing to take down this current administration if the current trajectory continues. I'll just leave it at that.
So you have certain military people that were willing to stage a coup, you're saying?
Yes.
Well, they should. Any self-respecting country in the world would have removed this guy by now. Are you kidding?
Well,
what an embarrassment that we can't.
They got to take more than the president, Thomas. I mean, let's face
Mike,
it. Given your...
Mike, I totally understand that, but they're going to start with him. I understand that. And here's the other thing. There are some individuals. There is actually an organization known as DAB, which is D-A-B, or no, not D-A-B, D-A-O, DAO, which stands for Democrats Against Obama. there are people within his own party, which I don't understand, and I guess they exist, but there are actually Democrats that love this country. But anyway, I digress. There are Democrats who within his own party that are working to bring him down. There is a lot of stuff that's going on within our intelligence community, because you know the NSA know who he is. There's people that's actually working to undermine him. And this is part of the reason why everything that, you know, Bettina's saying, she is absolutely right on. But my personal feeling is this: I will never write off the resolve of this country. People like you, Annie, Mike, Bettina, the gentleman who was on the who was talking about conditions within our black community, whoever that brother was, amen. I'm glad he spoke the truth, because it needed to be said. But people like that, as long as there are people like us who continue to stand, I will never give up hope and belief in this country. The day we wave the white flag of surrender will be the day that I move to Panama.
Amen to that, Thomas. Amen to that.
You bet.
I have a question for our guest. When you were when you first got approached to do this, as you were going back to the open, and obviously, okay, you're going to do it, and then you see a little thing wrong, and then it's another thing wrong, and at what point did you like just? I mean, there had to have been a point where you were just like, I don't want to use utter disbelief, but almost to a point where you think, like, is everyone in this country this dumb or naive or, you know, like, not a breaking point, but, you know, like an explosion point where you're thinking, oh, my God, how huge this is.
I mean, it was really fast because, you know, again, it wasn't just a few people that saw the fraud that Obama and the goons committed. I mean, it was, you know, millions of people. I mean, you know, when I did that interview with Jerry Corsi recently for WND, you know, they called me to go out and find some more people that wanted to talk. Well, all you got to do is, you know, call people that you remember from back then, and they're dying to tell their story. And, you know, all these people want to be heard. But as far as how fast it was right out of the gate. The minute we said we were going to make this documentary, all of a sudden, I mean, I have 7,000 contacts in my cell phone. Now, a lot of that is my cell business, but I would say a good 2,000 are from back then. And, I mean, it was just person after, you know, all day long getting phone calls, and this is what I saw, and this is what I saw. And, you know, us trying to, we were never, you know, I've never made a dime doing this. In fact, we used our own money to make this film. We were not funded by the Hillary people, the Democrats, the Republicans, nobody. And, you know, we did the best we could to even fly all over the country and interview these people. Had we had more money, we'd have a lot more film. I mean, that's what we're working on now. We did what we could. But it was immediate. And all of a sudden, here I am, really naive about all of this, thinking this is America, and if you vote, your vote counts. And, you know, we're not a corrupt country. We're an honest group of people. And immediately, all of that was shattered immediately. I mean, just hearing, and the worst part was hearing people talking about the physical assaults or the physical threats or the death threats. I mean, that was something I wasn't prepared for that. I was certainly prepared for falsified documents, sign-in sheets, you know, all of the phony documentation from the Obama camp. I was ready for that. I was not ready for people to be genuinely distressed by what had been done to them. And I was horrified. But at the same time, you know, and I've made it a point recently, especially in interviews, it was never the Republicans or the Tea Party, which didn't even exist until after Obama was elected, it was none of those people who broke the stories about Obama not being eligible. It was the Clintons. And so here, right, everybody knew 4 years ago this guy was a liar. He wasn't from where he said he was. He had a phony, dumbed up birth certificate. I mean, back then, he even had on Fight the Smears, which was his own website. It was put up by the Obama people that he was born a British citizen. And I think he thought it was cool and groovy and exotic, except for the fact that it completely disqualifies him to be president. But it's still up there. And then, you know, you had back from 2008, Nancy Pelosi on camera saying, you know, yes, he was born a citizen of Britain because of his father being Kenyan, but it expired. It doesn't get to expire. You know, their argument back then was that when he turned 23 or something, his British citizenship expired. No, it doesn't. That's not how it works. If you were born a British citizen, you're not the president. And you know, everybody was, we knew from the Clintons he wasn't legit. We knew that Bill Clinton was going to tell the truth about it. You know, and yet you're sitting there watching all these dopes go vote for this guy. And the disparity between who I know who he is after 4 years of having my nose dug in to all of this research. I mean, day in, day out, looking at the documents, reading the books, going back into the archives, the articles, everything about this guy, you know, and who people think he is, there's no, it's just not even close. What the people who still like this guy, they don't have any idea who he is. They have no earthly idea. That is a totally made-up, phony person that doesn't exist. The real person is what I'm assuming most of us people on the phone know right now, and I couldn't believe it. And I would say, you know, for instance, I went to, there was a guy that was really high up in the Democratic Party in Texas who was helping us with our film, and yes, he was a Democrat, but he'd been a Hillary supporter. He's actually in our film. And I called him up one day, and I said, you know, you got to answer this for me. Why is MSNBC shilling for this guy who every day I see them talking about this Jesus Christ Messiah, and what I see is a lazy slob who's never worked for anything, who's a fraud, who, amen, you know, has the character and morals of a dead fish, and yet, who is this person MSNBC is talking about? I said, why are they doing that? And he said, well, if you want to know the truth, he promised GE, General Electric, which owns Universal and MSNBC and NBC, they were bankrupt back then, and he promised to bail them out if he won. And sure enough, about 3 days later, in the LA Times, there was an article that said Obama promises to bail out GE if he wins. And we look at how wealthy GE is now with all the wind farms and with all the green stuff and the health care, all the stuff is being channeled through GE. I mean, it's just another dirty backroom deal, you know, that he's been giving taxpayer money to these people, and, you know, they keep pushing him and lying for him. You know, the media's lied for this guy for 4 years. If they told the truth, everybody in this country would run like hell and never vote for him.
Keep in mind, GE got all the federal contracts as far as for what GE does, so... He played them back. Man, oh man, talk about kickbacks to the carpenters. Jesus.
The geniuses, you know, again, this is more failed liberal disgust. But do you know what they did to the water in the San Joaquin Valley up out here?
No.
Was that with the little fish that they put on the endangered list?
Well, California has always had, you know, rich, lush produce. So in the Central Valley here, where all of our farms and our orchards, where we grow all of our fruit and olives and, you know, produce and everything else, we could feed the world. But the liberals, in their inimitable genius, decided that there was a fish, a 3-inch-long Delta smelt, that was endangered. Now, this fish is not even indigenous to California. It didn't come from here. And so they shut off all the water to the Central Valley. They shut off all the water. They have now turned the most lush, rich, produce-producing. Our agriculture was one of our biggest exports for California. I mean, look at it. Our weather, our produce, everything. We now have to import our carrots from China or wherever they're coming from. They put 95,000 people out of work. These people then had to stand in food lines to get, like, they get X amount of pounds of food for their families, you know, per week. And you know, it was like strawberries from Mexico or this or that, when it used to be our produce. And the Central Valley looks like Cuba. All these displaced people, most of them were immigrants, migrant workers. Now they're all living in the streets. It looks like Cuba. They're living in, you know, they defecate and urinate in the streets. They live in it. They're living in, you know, trailers or cars or whatever. And they've literally destroyed an entire business for the state over a fish. And John McCain tried to pass legislation to turn the water on, and, you know, they kept trying to get Arnold Schwarzenegger couldn't do anything about it because it was a federal issue. He's the governor. It was the EPA that did it. So this is how Obama and the Democrats get around screwing everybody, is they go to all these federal agencies. And so the EPA has now destroyed California. We have no money. We're broke. We're $100 billion in debt to all of our unfunded, you know, teachers' union pensions and liabilities. And we don't produce our agriculture anymore because liberals turned our Central Valley into a dust bowl. But what I was told was that there was some deal made to give all of that land to GE for wind farms. And that was part of the deal. I don't know. But you just can't believe that these people are so brain dead. They shut down an entire industry out here and turned the most lush agriculture-producing fields into a dust bowl. That's not going to come back. Those trees and orchards are gone. They haven't been watered in 5 years. So, you know, and I was so frustrated and angry, I was going to put on camouflage pants and a black turtleneck and put on a ski mask and run up there and turn the water on myself. I was like, how do you figure out how to turn that water on? I'll go do it. Because of all these people that are out of work, and, of course, now they're on food stamps, now they're on welfare, now they're on, you know, Medicaid, everything else, when they had jobs before. You know, I don't understand the mentality. I just don't. It's so destructive.
Well, people are going to have to be ready to see Obama steal the election again, because there's a court case that's going on, I believe it's in Chicago, where a computer programmer from Florida testified under oath in front of a judge saying that he created a program that caused the votes to go in a predicted manner. So basically rigged the elections. And the only way that anyone knew that this was done is unless they read the source code. So you had to be another programmer to know that how he tampered with the voting. And now you've got Skytle that Obama is supporting as counting the votes in Barcelona, Spain. They're going to try to steal it again.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, I went to speak in Houston at True the Vote. They screened my film and flew me there to talk. And when I was sitting in my hotel room, one of the people from True the Vote called me and said, look out your window. Okay, fine, there's an office building. And I said, what about it? And she said, Obama just put new Black Panther and Acorn offices in that building for 2012. This was 2 years ago. They're so ready to go to steal this election. They're not going to go down without a fight at all.
Hey, but
that's
Nina,
what they do.
Go ahead, Thomas.
I want to say this. You know what? I'm a Black conservative, and I'm going to tell you something. I despise the new Black Panther the new Black Bastard parties, whatever the hell they're called. excuse my expression, but you want to talk about the lowest of the low? They are the black equivalent of the Ku Klux Klan. Might as well call them the black KKK. They go railing against racist white people and what the hell they think they are. But I said all that to say this. I would take great pleasure if it comes to it. They think that all black people by some right is required by a birthright to stand with those racist piece of dog crap. I would take great pride in taking target practice at scum like that. I'm sick and damn tired of people like that who give black people like me a bad name. Because the way the liberals have twisted society in the media, a lot of people, unless they get to know me, they're going to look at me and stereotype me because of the actions of a few jackasses.
Yeah, I mean, I have to tell you, my favorite people in the world are black conservatives. I mean, I actually represent as a literary client Francis Rice, who's the chairman of the National Black Republican Association. Isn't she the most amazing woman? I love her so much.
Love her to pieces.
Well, she's actually a really good writer, by the way. She's writing a movie about Martin Luther King Sr. But she, you know, black conservatives are, to me, the smartest, most America-loving people in the world because they know their history because it's the Democrats who are the racists. You know, it was the Republicans who passed civil rights. It's the Republicans who passed the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments, much to the Democrats' dismay. Al Gore Sr., Al Gore's father, was one of the people that filibustered against civil rights.
Yep.
And, you know, the Republican Party has had a history of supporting the black community and the black conservatives, while the Democrats keep these poor people on a plantation. They park them in a slum like Detroit, pat them on the head, give them a measly little check, and just tell them to sit there and wait for their check every month, and when it's time, they drag them out to the voting polls. I can't even imagine living like that. It's so awful. And to me, that is the height of racism.
It is.
You know, they're not helping anybody become better people. They're making them sit there and, you know, from one plantation to another. It's horrible.
Exactly.
And there's so many. And what's so sad to me is, you know, there are black tea parties, Hispanic tea parties. You know, there's tea parties in Russia, Israel, Italy. I mean, all over the world, because really it's about one thing, freedom. I mean, and that's a universal language that everybody speaks. But when these creeps in the media call the TV, it's so funny. This morning, I was getting dressed, and I was on TV with Law and Order or something. And they made a Tea Party joke about the Tea Party being bigots. I mean, that's how in the conscious of the world that these liberals have spread this. Through entertainment, you know, on a TV show that should be entertainment, they're talking about the Tea Party being bigots. And I have never seen that at any Tea Party rally. I've never seen racism. I've been so proud of the minorities who are part of it. I wrote an article about there's a black Tea Party in Maxine Waters' district here in Los Angeles. That's a Tea Party. And
Jesse Lee Peterson, right? Is it Jesse Lee Peterson?
I went to the first one when they were protesting the NAACP. And it was interesting because the NAACP had a convention down at the LA Convention Center, and then Reverend Peterson, you know, hosted the Tea Party right outside of it. And I mean, these black people that were going to the NAACP thing, they were so angry at the black people that were at the Tea Party. There was one guy that I thought was, this one guy was going to have a stroke. He was jumping up and down and screaming and yelling and calling everybody names and blah, blah, blah. And it was the one time the police had to come over, you know. And by the way, there's never been an incident of violence ever recorded at any Tea Party. There's never been an arrest. There's never been any property damage. You know, the Tea Party people clean up afterwards. The grounds are always clean. Look at these OWS nuts. There have been 6,000 arrests. There have been 10 deaths, 2 murders. How many rapes, drug overdoses? They're completely filled with scabies and diseases, and you know they're defecating on cop cars in the streets. They're vandalizing things, burning things down, breaking things, and then Obama goes, "They're just like the Tea Party." Oh, really?
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
like my Tea Party.
I remember that one. I remember that one.
Yeah, not
definitely. Yeah, unbelievable.
It does go to show you is that people in America are so ignorant and so dumb,
right.
And outright stupid. There was a time where individual people not only valued the liberties, but even if their best friend told them something, they researched it and looked it up on themselves or looked it up for themselves. There was a value of being a husband who was responsible for his wife and his family. And for some reason now, it's wrong for a mother to want to stay home and raise the family. Somehow it's denigrated. And somehow, I mean, just everything that has basically been the roots of the tree of America, that has made the trunk of the tree, the branches of the tree strong, these people are just little by little just chopping and chopping and chopping. And obviously from what you have said, Bettina, which incidentally, thank you so much for being a guest. You've been amazing. But, you know, the ultimate goal is to bring the tree down.
Right.
Well, that's part of why they destroyed the family. The communists and the gentleman that said that the Democratic Party, they are not the party of JFK anymore. They have been infiltrated. They are the Communist Party. I mean, Alan West gets yelled at because he points out that 80 members of Congress are in the progressive, you know, they use the word progressive because they don't want to say communist, but that's what it is. I mean, progressive is just a fancy word for commie or socialist or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, they're in our Congress, which I completely do not understand because socialism is completely against our Constitution. Why are they even allowed to do that? I don't even think the Congressional Black Caucus should be there because these are people that have caused so many problems. They're race baiters. They're liars. You know, that whole thing with Representative Lewis saying that somebody spit on him at a tea party, that was a lie, or that somebody used the N-word, that was a lie. They proved it never happened. And, you know, Andrew Breitbart offered $100,000 for anybody that could prove it happened. They surrendered 400 cell phones of people that were directly next to Representative Lewis, and he was so far away from the crowds that it would be physically impossible for somebody to even spit on him. But they lie, they stir up race baiting, they do all this stuff. And in the meantime, you know, the whole communist platform is why they promote the gay marriage and why they promote destroying families and, you know, not having fathers in the house, you know, in the black community. Why there's all these women that have 10 kids and no father. They do that on purpose because if they destroy the family, they're destroying the fabric of this country, which is what it's founded on. And it's largely also population control. You know, I mean, that's why they're so all about abortions and killing babies and free contraceptives. But what you're seeing now is that Obama can't run on his record. He has no record other than destroying the country. So the only thing he's going to do, he's going to start a class warfare, race warfare. You know, I'll tell you what I honestly think. I think when Obama started this Occupy Wall Street thing, and we know that came directly from the White House, that was his thing. You know, he was the one that sent the SEIU goons out to the Tea Parties. Remember when they beat up that black conservative in St. Louis at the Tea Party?
Yeah, Kevin Gasnick. I met him.
Yeah, the SEIU people have T-shirts that match. They come in buses that are paid for from all over the signs that have been made. Who's paying for that? Obviously, this is coming, you know, these are direct, like, issues from the White House. SEIU is Obama's baby. Andy Stern was the number one visitor on the guest blog at the White House. So was Bertha Lewis from Acorn.
Bettina,
so was Malik Shabazz.
We have had so much fun. We're down to our last 40 seconds. I can't believe the hour. Yeah, can't believe the whole hour and a half went so fast. I want to thank you so much for coming on, and I want to invite you to come back again, please.
Oh, of course, anytime.
Oh, it has been absolutely awesome.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Oh. But, Tina, I've held back saying this because I know Annie would smack me in the head, but looking at your picture, you're really hot, as we say in the nightclub business.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much.
I don't have gray hair yet.
Thanks so much for everything. Well, Annie.
Thank you.
All right. Wow. I want to thank everyone and, you know, have a good night and God bless. We will be back again on Tuesday. Our guest will be James Best, bestselling author of Murder at Thumb Butte, the Steve Dancy series, as well as his new book, Principled Action, which is about the Founding Fathers. So I'll see you again. Enjoy your weekend and be safe.
Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble.
You've been listening to Southern Sense Blog Talk Radio. Producer and your hostess extraordinaire is Ann Ubelis. The theme music, American Stand Up, is written and performed by Don Fortney. For more from Don, check out his webpage, teapartymusic.webs.com. Southern Sense is a proud member of Ghost Fighter Radio and Freedom Media Network. Southern Sense is common sense. Take it out, Don.
American. Don't back down.